Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Do you ever feel frustrated that you're not making progress forward in life, or you're not really getting the results that you're after, or you're not making, you know, you're not reaching your potential? I'll always say that that is directly related to who you hang out with.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
You know, the truth is 80% of our patients can't afford the type of dentistry we're trying to do on them, and that's why they piecemeal the dentistry or don't get anything done. And having patient financing, and especially having an easy way for your team members to do it, really opens the door to that. So, you know, what else would you like to add to the conversation, Robert?
Something that you just touched on, which is a lot of patients are not getting all of the treatment that they need done because of cost. And then a year later, 2 years later, people coming out of COVID, they might have a lot of work that they know they need. They're not even coming in. They're not even scheduling an appointment because they know the cost. They have anxiety around going to the dentist. So I think one of the things that we actually can help in an office get ahead of is sending out pre-qualification links, letting the patient know before when they schedule a treatment, when they're on your website, and you probably have this on your website, doctor. When a patient's visiting the website, letting them know, hey, there's patient financing available, getting them approved just as quickly and easily as this, letting them know they have access to $5,000, $6,000 to use when they come in, changes the dynamic when the patient's in the chair. When you tell them, hey, it's a crown and two fillings, they're not scared of that bill anymore because they know they can split it up into payments. So it changes that. It increases the likelihood of case acceptance for the full treatment plan recommendation. So I think the other area that patient financing can be leveraged is pre-visit, in scheduling, on the phone, talking about it so that patients know that there's something available to them. So they're more likely to show up, more likely to schedule an appointment.
Excellent. So how does one become a Sunbit customer? And I believe you guys have a special offer for our listeners on this. So talk to us about that, Robert.
First of all, we have a special URL for anyone who wants to learn about Sunbit and reach out and schedule a demo. We hope you will. It's dental.sunbit.com.
I want you to, please.
Yeah. dental.sunbit.com/T-Bone. One word, T-Bone, no hyphen. Anyone who signs up for a demo and mentions T-Bone in the month of May will get a $20 DoorDash gift card on Sunbit for joining. So basically, we'll buy the office a pizza for joining the demo. And we'll tell you more about Sunbit, answer any questions you have, and walk you through the process. And if you're interested in signing up at the end, we'll send you over an agreement to get started. It's a simple, easy process. We'll train the staff. We'll get you set up with marketing materials, and we'll get you going. Simple, easy process. But dental.sunbit.com/T-Bone. Sign up and join for a demo in May to get a $20 DoorDash gift card.
So there's no obligation for everybody listening. You know, with me, you guys know I'm not going to try to send you down some rabbit hole where you get a heavy sales pitch, and it's good for your practice. And I think if nothing else, you owe it to yourself to at least look at what's going on. And look, here's where we're trying to move our mastermind coaching clients to. to me, the barometer for a healthy practice in 2023 and beyond is that about 15 to 25% of their revenue comes from some type of payment plans. Okay, whether that's no interest plans or long term plans, whether that's just because what that means is that we're doing larger treatment plans on a patient. You know, if you have zero patient financing in your practice, you're doing a lot of single tooth dentistry in your practice, or you magically live in a place where everybody has lots of money, which that's far and few between. Okay. So if you're not doing applications, if you're not doing patient financing, there's something you're missing out on. That is not something you should be proud of, in my opinion, because our practice wouldn't survive if we didn't have patient payment plans or patient financing available to them. You know, for us, man, internally, our practice, we're probably closer to 25% of our total collections comes from patient financing. It's an absolutely important part of our practice. It's what's allowed me to go from fillings to crowns, from crowns to quadrants, quadrants to half mouth to full mouth, to cosmetic dentistry, to implant dentistry, to aligner dentistry, to full mouth implant dentistry. That process would not be possible without some way to help your patients pay for this over time. And the reality is, hell, people buy mattresses. And, you know, they buy Amazon stuff with payment plans. They buy the whole life. America is run on payment plans. America is not run on Dunkin'. America is run on payment plans. So you have to get with the times, or you're losing out on your patient base. Well, Robert, anything else? Perfect timing. I mean, this is great. Straight to the point. It's what what our listeners need to hear. And, you know, it's what we're using in our practice, and our team likes it. And, you know, one other thing I will tell you, one of the things that I'm doing with my team members is we're tracking the number of applications we do each month. That to me is the barometer. The barometer isn't how much dollars we're getting. That's an important barometer, but when you're getting started, the barometer isn't how much dollars you're closing. It's how many applications you're doing. Because what that tells me is that we're offering our patients patient financing, and we're giving them the opportunity to say yes to the best. And so to me, the first problem is get your team members comfortable making patient financing, and then we'll fine tune, you know, what company's right, what FICO score is right, which companies provide you the payments and everything. Too often, traditional patient financing companies have approved so few people that our team members are just absolutely biased that nobody gets approved, or only people with lots of money get approved, or if you get approved, it's high interest rates. So there are different lending options out there, and SunBit's a great tool to have in your tool belt to help your patients out.
Yeah, I think you don't know what's going on in your patient's wallet any more than you know what's going on in your patient's mouth before they open it up. So don't guess. Don't try and pick and choose. Let them know.
Look, I make a lot of money and I can afford a lot of things. A few years ago, I bought a mattress that was pretty expensive, and I could write a check for it. But when they offered me 12 months no interest, I was like, why would I give you my money today when I can give it to you over 12 months? And what ended up happening is, instead of buying, you know, the run of the mill mattress, I ended up getting the one that goes up and down, has like heating and cooling in it. I was like, might as well go ahead and go all in. And that's exactly what we want our patients to do. So that's what payment plans allow our patients to do. And I know we've done several podcasts talking about this next thing, but I want to go in deeper, because without doubt, this is probably one of the most important things holding your practice back from being extraordinary. And it's one of the things where we get so many questions. And so today I want to talk about clarifying the role and position of having a treatment coordinator. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because if you're interested in being extraordinary and doing more specialty type dentistry, doing fewer well-planned visits, if you bought into the things we talk about here, having a treatment coordinator in your practice is critically important. Now, if you say, I have a treatment coordinator, I still want you to listen and really ask yourself, do you truly have a dedicated treatment coordinator at the end of this episode? And do you have them doing the most important things first in your practice?
Yes. So that's exactly what I was going to say with the dedicated is, yeah. I think this is what brings so much value to a practice and to a team member. And when I asked in one of our last mastermind team calls, They said, yes, we have. I said, who has a dedicated treatment coordinator in your practice? And the two people who said that they did.
Didn't.
It wasn't dedicated.
Yeah.
It was split between a couple people, whoever was available, which is fine. But then when it comes to follow up, who does what falls through the cracks? And I just think having one, and it's the same thing. Taking the role off of half of two people and dedicating one person would be so much more value to your practice.
So in other words, you're saying two half-assers aren't as good as one dedicated person?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I would agree with that.
Well, it's not a half-asser. It's falls through the cracks, kind of. It's too many hands in the pot.
Yeah.
So let's get into kind of clarifying that role of what a treatment coordinator is and what they do day to day.
Yeah, so this conversation came up. I was just doing one of my mastermind coaching calls with Dr. Ben Height and his office manager, Kendra.
Shout out.
Yeah, I love Ben. Ben's all in. He's trying to win, man. I love that with Ben. And Kendra was asking me the question. She says, like, what does this person do?
Yep, and she was on with me the other day.
Yeah, so what I immediately thought of, she's like, what are they going to do if they're not seeing a patient? I'm like, so there's this thing in dentistry where we believe that if you don't see a patient, you're doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Like that.
And your hands are not working,
you're
moving.
Doing nothing.
Or cleaning, then you should be cleaning instruments.
Yeah, exactly. And so what went through, I had a good conversation with Ben and Kendra about what our success path of what a good treatment coordinator does. And so that's what I kind of want to walk through this is, number one, the first thing and most important thing that a treatment coordinator is doing is they're doing the treatment presentation. So they're available for all hygiene and limited exam patients or any patient that comes through the practice. And in our practice, anything that's more than a single visit, okay, and or if somebody's truly, truly running behind, then that patient gets transferred, the baton gets passed to the treatment coordinator to take over the completion of their presentation and scheduling their appointment. So first and foremost, that's treatment presentation. Now, Meredith, you've been in this role. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about what the treatment presentation itself looks like.
So treatment presentation, the reason you need to be available kind of is for this, because at any time hygiene could, you know, one, we schedule consults. So
Well, let's go. We'll leave that for down the road. So that's going to be
number one. Okay, so this is just
from hygiene.
Pretty much hygiene.
Yeah.
Hygiene transfers. So typically, I mean, depending on how many hygienists you have, but most people have
two to three, five
hygienists at one time. So a hygienist letting you know, we use radios. So saying, hey, I'm going to have a patient that's going to have a lot of treatment. If you could step in for this exam, if you could have a financial menu ready, and if you could present this to the patient, you know, that could be happening 2 to 5 times an hour.
In theory, theoretically,
Typically, maybe happens 1 to 2 times an hour.
Yeah.
And so in between that time, that's when these other things come in. But I would say that is your priority, presenting and the transfer from hygiene to the doctor column,
and
pretty
much, kind of
the liaison of hygiene to doctor and back.
And the truth is you got to be available.
Right.
Like having a person as a treatment coordinator, but they're never available because they're on the phone with the insurance company or they're on the phone with XYZ or they're checking in a patient. Like that makes you not available. Right. You may have a treatment coordinator, but they're not available.
And then what could make you cringe? I think at one point you said, we will not send financial menus over email.
Did
they get it that day?
Yes.
Or we schedule them to come back, or they will not get, I'd rather them not get the plan.
Yeah, that's just kicking the can down the curb. That's so impersonal. It doesn't work. It doesn't work as well. So the first thing, the success path, is we want them to be available for the treatment presentation. So that means in our office, they'll put together the treatment plan out of your software. They'll put together the financial menu. They'll sit down with the patient, go over the treatment, be able to answer some basic questions about the treatment, and then work with the patient to help them come up with a plan of how it fits into their life, whether that's doing some of the treatment, none of the treatment, or all of the treatment, whether that's doing it as slow, as fast as they want, getting all of that planned out, put together, scheduled, financials run, credit card run, third party run, whatever it is, getting all that done, that is the first most important role that they do.
They are truly the patient's advocate.
Yeah, absolutely. They got to be the concierge and advocate to help the patient choose what's best in their life right now. And sometimes you got to push people a little bit to help them choose what really is going to be best for them, you know?
For them, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is treatment presentation.
Yeah. But have you ever heard the saying that you are the average of the five people you hang out with? And do you ever feel frustrated that you're not making progress forward in life, or you're not really getting the results that you're after, or you're not making, you know, you're not reaching your potential. I'll always say that it's, that is directly related to who you hang out with. And in this week's episode, I'm going to talk to you about how I'm very intentional about the five people I choose to hang out with, or the five types of people I choose to hang out with in my life.
We talked about this in the mastermind, and everyone was so intrigued by it. I heard people talking about it during happy hour and after the course as well. You mentioned something about, you kind of asked the dentist who they hang out with, you know, who they golf with.
Well, what brought this up?
So people were kind of talking about their book clubs and things they do outside of dentistry, hobbies, I guess. And you said, well, one of the reasons we have the mastermind, right, is because people, when you get around your local friends, it's like, why do you need to try so hard? You're doing really well.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're so far removed from people's regular day-to-day life that you feel like you're kind of an outlier, which I think most of the dental business owners are. And so you talked about being surrounded and like the five people you spend the most time with, whether that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're the highest earner. Yeah. Sometimes it's smart to be the lowest one, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times these people in their book clubs or in their coffee meet and greets are probably well removed from the day-to-day lives of everyone else.
I think... What, from my recollection, what brought this about is we had one of our masterminders saying that they feel so motivated when they come here, and then they go back to their office, and like a week or two later, they're unmotivated again. And, you know, my question to him was, well, tell me who you're hanging out with when you get back.
Yeah, who do you surround yourself with?
Who do you surround yourself with? And this particular person is a very exercise fanatic, and he hangs out with a lot of people that do a lot of outdoor activities, things I'm jealous of.
Yeah.
But I said, who else? Who else do you hang out with? He goes, well, that's pretty much it. I go, well, I said, that's part of the challenge. Yeah. Is
the people who have 4 hours to hike a day are probably not in the same.
And unless that's where you're trying to get to in life, right?
Yeah.
If you're at that point in your life where it's all about the outdoor activities and stuff, and that's okay. But, you know, that led me into a side conversation about where I'm intentional about the five people that you have, that I hang out with. And I don't literally mean five people, like I only hang out with five people, but there's five types of people I like to have in my life. And so kind of give you an overview, and then we'll kind of walk into each of these a little bit. Is I like to have a business person in my life, someone who's been unbelievably successful in business, that has a larger, broader view of business than I do, so that they can keep me grounded and kind of keep me inspired about what I'm missing or what opportunities exist in business. Number two, I like to be surrounded by somebody that's a really good person.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can have a tendency to kind of get off track a little bit, and we need a, what I call a good human in our lives. Number three, I've got to have people who have likes and hobbies like me, because, you know, I need that.
Where you enjoy spending time.
Yeah, it's where I enjoy spending my time. Number four is I call it my anti-weakness person. And this is a person who helps me get over my own personal weaknesses, because they're the opposite of that. And then number five is, of course, family. And so you want to have a good core foundation of family people around you. And so these are the kind of the five people, again, the business person, the good human, someone that likes and hobbies that are similar to mine, the anti-weakness person, and the family people. And I want to be clear, these aren't the only five people we hang out with, but these are the five types of people I try to keep in my life. And they go through different spurts. You know, there may be times where I'm really hanging out with my business friends a lot, or there may be times where I'm really hanging out with my likes and hobbies people a lot. Or right now I've been hanging out a lot with my anti-weakness people a lot. Or there'll be times where you go through family time a lot. And there's, you know, always, if you notice, I keep getting my good human last and last, because, you know, I think I'm a good human, but...
Well, it's all about what you need at that time.
Yeah. So, let's kind of dive into some of these.
Yeah. Let's talk about it, because in our mastermind, we kind of talk about growing you as a person, not just as a dentist. So I think getting these five people and knowing who they, you know, it doesn't have to always be the same person either.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's something we talk about is, you know, you could have three or four people that are your good humans at different times in your life, for sure.
That stability. I thrive and crave stability. And for me, my family has always been Family has always been that point of stability for me. And so that's kind of how I choose to surround myself with. And, you know, sometimes family goes away for a little bit, and they're sometimes they're all of it. And But these are the kind of the five people. So why don't you review the five people, and then we'll kind of move on.
Yeah, so the five influential people you should have in your life are the business person, your good human, someone who has the same likes and hobbies as you, your anti-weakness friend, and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully this gives you insight, and I'm sure we're missing people and different things for everybody else, but... these are the five, you know, you are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. So be intentional that you have five different categories of people and that you find these types of people. And these people don't always just show up in your life. Sometimes you have to go out and find them. And that is part of the challenge in this, is you have to go out and make new friends and meet new people and put yourself out there. And sometimes you get kicked in the face. Sometimes you get welcomed with a hug. But be intentional, and that is especially important for those of you that are trying to grow and do something greater in your life. So thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I hope to see many of you at our 3D Growth Summit, and I hope to see many of you here at the 3D Retreat in Raleigh, North Carolina, at one of our amazing seminars and programs.